Amen. Many years ago, when I got serious about following Jesus, a fellow that is not with us tonight, but he is a lot of times, my brother-in-law, Al Hammond, told me besides my Bible, one of the best books I could use would be just a good hymn book. And I found it to be quite true. And many times God speaks to me through songs. And it's been, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, God just brought to my mind a song that I hadn't heard in a long time. And I feel like he was telling me there was a message to go with it. And so I also feel like something that Josh says often, if I can give it to you half as good as God gave it to me, this is a good message tonight. Just pray that I won't get in the way of God telling you the same thing he's already told me. So I would like to start off with the song. You can, if you want to, I'm not going to.
Till some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner. For all your talent, you may surely find a need. Here reflect the bright and morning star. Even from your humble hand, the bread of life may feed. Brighten the corner.
How many of you had ever heard that song before? How many of you had never heard it before? Wow, I am old, aren't I? Or from just a different part of the country, I don't know what. Anyway, that song says a lot to me, and it says in the first of it, don't wait to be able to do some great feat. You know, God gives us all a mission to do, and we've heard this taught and preached here, but I stand here thinking there's a lot of people here that are much more capable. They do a better job of putting things together. And God could use them in a greater way. But he gave me this opportunity. And I'm not going to try to be Josh or anybody else tonight. I'm going to try to be me and let God speak through me. And I hope I'll stay out of the way and let him do that. I do believe that we each have our different gifts and talents. But we also each have our different, as we've heard it told before, sphere of influence. There's people that each one of you know and rub elbows with that I will never, probably ever meet this side of eternity. There's people that I meet that I have opportunity to have influence on that probably a whole lot of you guys will never meet. That's the corner that we need to brighten. First of all, if we're going to brighten the corner, there has to be a light. The light, according to the book of John in chapter 1 tells me what that light is. I don't know that we're going to read the whole book of the whole chapter of the first book of the first chapter of the book of John. Boy, my tongue's tangled up bad already. But we're going to start there. And it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. I think I'm going to stop right there for the moment. Not only did John tell us about the light, about Jesus being the light, if we look back in the book of Isaiah, and I may have confused the order of the references here. I think I had this one listed later, but I would like Isaiah, which I have here somewhere if I can get to it. Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to hear about that light the same way that we did in the book of John. And it starts off with, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as it was in the vexation, when at the first he highly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men did rejoice when they divided the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff off his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, the day of Midian. For every battle and every warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And then it goes on and really gets into explaining what he's talking about. For unto us is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Father, the Prince of Peace. This is Isaiah seeing, he's telling his in his mind it's already happening. He sees it happening. He was given the prophecy from God to share that Jesus was coming. And he's telling it here just like it's already been done. And I think Josh preached a message sometime back. If God said it, you could mark her down. It's going to happen. Isaiah believed it. And guess what? It did happen just exactly like he said. Jesus is that light. And that's the first and most important message and thing that we can know and remember, that without Jesus we don't have any hope. He's the light. He's also the way, the truth, and the life. But let's look in John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have heard some people make the statements that Jesus didn't claim to be the Son of God. He didn't claim to be anything, but he just sort of let his work speak for him. Jesus made bold statements as to who he was. He wasn't bashful about it. There were times when he held his speech and didn't talk. When they had him on trial, at that point he knew what was getting ready to happen. And I don't know, I just personally think that he may have held his speech so that he didn't change the outcome, because he came to die for our sins. It could be, if Jesus had spoken up when he was on trial, he very well could have spoken himself right out of that situation and been freed. But he came for that mission. And the Bible says he was as a lamb before the slaughter. And he was silent. He didn't give an answer. I don't know if I'm right in what I think about that or if I'm not, but we do know that he did go to the cross of his own free will. He chose it. He followed it to do his Father's will, who had sent him. That's the same thing that we need to learn to do. In John chapter 9, verses 3 and 5, we find that Jesus answered. They had brought someone that was blind to him from birth, and disciples want to know who sinned, that this man is blind. And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Again, he's proclaiming that he is the light of the world, and he's also come to do the will of his Father who has sent him. He also tells us it's important that we do the same works that he has done. He told us in a number of places. He said, "By this will men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." But he also said, "If you are mine, you will do the things that I tell you. You'll keep my commandments." So if we find that we're not keeping his commandments, we're not following him, then we have allowed something to get in the way, and we're not doing the thing we're supposed to do. In John 20 and verse 21, and I'm not sure that I put that one on there, did I? Let me see if I can find it. I don't have it marked either, but I did have, that's a verse I had looked up. I do want to read it. John verse 20. Chapter 20 and verse 21. I'll get it straight what I'm trying to say. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." This was his command to the disciples and his followers. And we think of the disciples as being the 12. There was many disciples, many followers of Jesus. At one time, we find that there were 70 that he sent out two by two. And he told them, "You're to go out and you're to take this message, and not everybody's going to accept it. Some of them are going to turn against you. And don't be concerned if they do, because you're just doing what I've told you." And I'm not sure exactly which the verse is where he told them that, but he said, "Don't be surprised if they don't receive you, they don't receive me. And if you go in my name, not everybody's going to receive you." But we want to be sure that we take the message to those that will receive. Let's look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus is telling us as his followers, "Ye are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus has given us that command that we are to go. He's sending us just like the Father sent him. We're to be the light of the world. If I'm going to be that light of the world, first of all, as we've already said, I have to have Jesus. If I have Jesus on the inside and I don't have myself or sin in the way blocking it, we've heard the story about the little girl when she wanted to be saved, and they explained to her that Jesus would move in and live on the inside of her, and she said, "How can anybody as big as Jesus get inside of me and not stick out?" That's the point. He's supposed to stick out. If we're living right, if we're doing the things we're supposed to, and we're following his commandments, he will stick out. People will see. You won't have to make announcements. You won't have to wear clothes like we wear when we go to the motorcycle events to announce that I'm a Christian. He should show in our life. It should be evident. And the point of the good works, as Jesus has said, "You'll keep my commandments," It's not so that you're going to gain favor with God, but it's so that you will glorify the Father, which is in heaven. That's what our good works are supposed to be about. They're not supposed to be so that we build up a good name for ourselves, or Fellowship Baptist Church, or the Christian Motorcyclist Association, or anyone else. It's about building up Jesus Christ, His name, and pointing people to the Father in heaven who wants to forgive their sins if they'll turn and ask forgiveness. Paul is one of the greatest examples of what God can do to be a light in our lives. In the book of Acts, in chapter 9, starting at the first of the book, we read about Saul's, I've talked about John so long I'm hung on him. We're talking about Saul's conversion, where he met Jesus on the road, and he was converted, and his name became Paul. So let's start in verse 1 and read. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And we've already talked about who the light is, and we know the rest of the story, but here's that light again. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now Saul didn't understand who it was yet for sure. He said unto him, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We know that Paul went on from here. He turned his life over to Jesus, and he walked as one of the greatest examples that we can have to follow, as a man that let the light of Jesus shine through him. He suffered a lot of persecution. He saw a lot of good results, but some places he didn't see good results. But Paul was a good example of who we're supposed to be. If we can follow Paul, he even tells us in one place, if we'll follow him as he followed Christ, then we'll do pretty good. And yet Paul himself was the one that told us, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And when I find myself wanting to do good, I turn around and do the wrong thing. And when I know what I'm not supposed to do, sometimes that's what I do. He said, I struggle with that. So when we struggle with it, we can be comforted in the fact that Jesus said, if you're faithful and just to confess your sins, I will forgive them. So when we do get out of line, and maybe the rest of you don't struggle with that as much as I do, but I have to work on me a lot, because I can get me in the way, and Jesus can't shine very good when I'm sticking out everywhere. Sometimes the me that sticks out is pretty ugly, and I don't like it. But he's ready and willing to give us another opportunity to come and kneel and confess that we have been in the wrong, and he will put us back on that path like we're supposed to be. Hopefully one day I'm going to get where I have to do less of that asking. I'm praying for that. As we said earlier, it's not always easy. Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 10. And Jesus is sending out, I mentioned the 70. After these things, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. He's sending them out to prepare the way, just like John prepared the way. He's sending these 70 out to prepare the way. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, nor salute no man by the way. And whatsoever house you enter in, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. In the same house remain, eating, drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. So he's telling them, when you get there, when you go to a house, and that's the one you're supposed to stay at, but they didn't just stay with the message in that house. They went around sharing the message, but that was their home base for that city. Whatsoever city you enter into, receive you such things are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out in the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And then he goes on to say, but I say unto you, it should be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And we find that they went out and they did this, and God gave them power, and they were able to heal people. Later on, he told them, don't be so puffed up in yourself that you're proud of the things you've been able to do, but be thankful that the gospel has been preached. And in verse 21, after they've done this and they've come back, and he's given them the power to do these things, he says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. If you want Jesus to be pleased with you, do the things he's told you to do. This verse tells me that Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. He was thankful. He was happy that his followers, his disciples, had gone out and done the deeds that he'd asked them to do. It brought him joy. I don't know about you, but I would much rather have Jesus be pleased with me than have him be disappointed. I've had too many of those days. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, it also speaks of this same thing of them going out and being as lambs going out among wolves. How many of you know what happens usually when the wolves find a lamb? There's a great supper, isn't it? And the lamb is, it's at the lamb's expense. He doesn't enjoy it much. Our life is also, as much as Jesus shining out of us, we should live in a way that reflects his light in this world, like a mirror. You know, like the sun shines, and it shines at all the time. It doesn't go out at night, but the earth gets in the way, and it shines over here on the moon, and the moon reflects that light back down to us. How many of you know on a really clear night when there's no clouds and nothing in the way, you can see a lot by the light of the moon? It's not as bright as the sun, but it's a good reflection. We can be a good reflection of Jesus if we keep the clouds of sin and self out of the way, and we'll allow it to be a good clear path between us and Jesus, so that that light can bounce back off of us to the people that are around us. That is what we're supposed to do. If I allow sin or myself to get in the way, it's just as bad as the clouds blocking the sun of this earth. It causes the light of Jesus to be dim. I will say things and do things that hinder people instead of helping. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We read it once, but I want to read it one more time. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If I'm living in the way that my life is clean, I'm doing it the things that God's asked me to do, and I'm not involved in open sin, I'm not doing things deliberately. We all make mistakes, we all come short, we know that. But if I'm putting forth a sincere effort to walk with God and spending time talking to him and asking him to use me, that light is going to reflect. I will be that reflection, and it should reflect not to me, but to my Father which is in heaven. That's the goal, that's the purpose, that's everything that it's about. But I want to look at one more verse, and we'll be done. When all this is said and done, and we pass on from this life, and we get to a place called heaven, in the book of Revelation 21, and verse 23, it tells me that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. One day, we're going to be in the presence of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, and there won't be any night there. The Bible tells us it's going to be bright all the time because He's going to be there, and He don't burn out, and He will not be dimmed. There'll be no sin there to cause us to fail to bask in His glory and in the light of His glory, and we get to live and enjoy that for eternity. I don't claim to have any idea as to what we're going to do in heaven. I don't think we're going to float around and play harps. I think God's got things for us to do. I think there's going to be work to be done in heaven. And whatever it is, I want to try to get ready for it while I'm here. I hope that you have taken something from tonight. I've been encouraged that I need to keep the things in my life that would hinder me from following Jesus out of the way and allow His light to shine through me. And I want to have us to close out with another song that tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. If anybody has anything on your heart, you want to take to the altar, lift up some of the prayer requests. We don't typically do that on Wednesday night, but I don't think anybody would be upset if we do. We'll close out with that song and we'll be dismissed. Thank you very much. And I don't know if I said it or not, but the title of tonight's lesson was "To Ben, Bright in the Corner Where You Are." That's what the song was, and that was meant to be the title. I think you're supposed to give that at the first, not the last, but nobody said I was a pro. Thank you.